my first, I guess, official time recording an episode. So I know what to talk about, I guess. It's going to be like an introduction of myself to my audience. But other than that, like, I don't know. I don't really plan my episode idea, so I just like go ahead and do whatever. But I am here. I'm also hoping that all the settings are correct on this thing. But yeah, here we are. Welcome to my podcast, I guess. Hey guys, before we get into the episode, I just wanted to give a quick PSA from me editing the episode. I noticed how many times I say the word like. It's actually insane and I can't control it, and it just bothers me so much because, you know, like, it's just hard listening to your voice like so much because then you just nitpick. And I'm like seeing that I say like a trillion times within one episode. So apologies for that. Also, there's kind of like subtle mouth ASMR because just the mic quality was really good. So there's just, you know, I don't know exactly how to edit that out right now. Very preliminary. So apologies if that's a little icky. And also, I kind of say things, look, like, sometimes I say things that are wrong, even though I know they're right. Like, in the moment, I was not thinking about it. Like, around 40 minutes in, I say, like, oh, it's, like, what do I say? Like, stigmatism, is that the word? And I'm like, yeah. No, the word was stigma, and I knew that. Like, this is, you know, things I know. But I did not, I don't want to sound, like, dumb. But yeah. Just forgive me, this is all very preliminary and early stages, so I don't really have an official intro and outro song. And also, I apologize because, I mean, not, I don't apologize, but this is a very lengthy episode, I guess, because I felt the need to just, like, explain my whole persona to the listeners, so it is kind of long. The usual episodes will not be this long, just, I guess, to let y'all know that. But anyways I hope you enjoy, and yeah, I'll let you guys get into my first episode.
I guess, like, a thing I should say so everybody knows is that I wanted to do this because I've been thinking about it for a while, because I've been working for the past 2 years as a podcaster for my university's podcast, and I like doing what I do, but I think the most stressful part for me is writing the script and coming up with it, even though I have to say specific things. It's just frustrating for me, and I've always, like, every time I work, I'm like, I wish I can just talk, you know? And then I was like, oh, maybe I can start my own podcast, like, yeah, right. But then I was like, wait, like, it's beneficial to me because I get to learn skills. And it's a hobby, and it's fun, and I get to talk, which I don't usually do in real life. So, like, I'm kind of a quiet person. So, to be able to talk is very nice. Talk freely, I guess. But yeah. So, hello. My name is Maya. I am 21, and I'm a fourth year in college. I guess I'm about to graduate. No, I'm not. In a couple months. This is the beginning of the school year. But it feels like it. You know, it went by fast. When I first came, I was like, oh, like, people say it goes by fast, but it won't. You know, it'll feel like a long time because I'm in school. But I was wrong. It does go by fast, and I miss it already, and I wish I could do one more year. But I can't. But I'm studying biology. I'm getting a BA in biology. I love nature and animals, but not like in an ecological way. I do. Like, ecology is fun, but I like more of, like, evolution and, like, discovering why things do what they do. And I also like astronomy a little bit, which I'm excited because I'm going to be taking an astrobio class this upcoming quarter. And I feel like that just hones in everything I love. So hopefully it's going to be great. And I'm gonna, like, because I've read books on astrobiology already, so I kind of have, like, a little background in it. I guess. But anyways, I work in a lab working with Hydra, which are cnidarians, which are closely related to jellyfish. So I love jellyfish. They're so beautiful and interesting and crazy, by the way. Like, just with all the papers I've read, like, guys. I mean, I focus on cnidarians processing light. So I learned a lot about their eyes. So like the box jellyfish has a crazy eye that's like closest to humans, which is like insane because it has a cornea and everything. And you can see them. Like when you look at them, it's like a little black dot. Crazy. So they can like kind of see like shadows and stuff, which is amazing. And they do so many other things, but I'm not here to talk about my lab and what I do. But or maybe, I don't know. But let's see. Something that's really important to me is music. I love rock. That is where I reside on the music spectrum. I love, yeah, classic rock, but mainly 90s rock. Grunge is where, this is going to be another episode, by the way, my like discovery of grunge, because it was so amazing and so crucial to my whole life and my personality. But grunge is just, yes, that is my home in the rock realm. But I like a lot of other rock, you know, and also other genres of music, like, R&B or alternative, you know. I think, like, anything that kind of branches out of rock that's, like, different than rock is, like, I like it too. Like, reggae or, I don't know. There's some genres of music that I don't even know the name of. But, like, a lot of intersecting things like rock, reggae, and, like, you know, like, pop and rock? What's that called? Like, alt rock? Alt pop? I don't know. But I am someone that, like, moves on from things really fast. So, like, I'm going to talk about hobbies. And I have a new one probably every year. Like now, I mean, it's obviously podcasting. But also painting, which I don't do that often, but I really love to do. I don't read. I'm not a reader. I'm not going to apologize because it's just like, I used to be like, sorry guys, I'm not a reader. But like, I don't know. I just can't read. Like the attention span is not there. But like, not because I'm like sucked into social media. It's just like, I can read about like astrobiology, like I said, or like, you know, like ancient fossils, like informational, like science or biographical books, but like fiction and stuff, it just doesn't, I don't read. Also, I wish I was into video games, but, I'm not because I tried like playing like shooting games, but it was just, it never like, I just got anxious. I was like, oh my god, like, you know. And then like, I guess I'm kind of competitive, so like if I didn't win, like I was just like, I'm doomed, you know. So if you are like that, I totally understand. Like, it's just like, I'd rather not do things than lose sometimes. But yeah, what I do want to do is I'm trying to save up to buy a Nintendo Switch Lite so I can play Animal Crossing, because it just seems really cute, and I want to try something new, and, like, it seems, like, very cozy, and, like, I also want to find something to replace me being on social media too much, because it's just, like, very empty, and especially if I'm not, like, creating any content for social media, it's just, like, numbing, you know, you're just, like, looking at your screen, and it's just, like, I'd rather be, like, doing something, like, if I was, like, an influencer on social media, which is also demanding, I understand, but, you know, I'd rather be, like, active instead of just, like, watching. Because then, like, you know when you, like, get in the hole of just people that are having so many things and you're just, like, comparing yourself and you're just, like, why don't I have that or how can I get that? And you're just, like, in this place of unsatisfactory longing. Like, that's how I feel when I'm on social media too much. I'm like, oh, no, I can't do this. Because it's just simply too much. But, yeah, I'm trying not to compare myself to people. But, look, guys, also, people are going to be wondering, I'm just kidding, no one's going to be wondering, but people ask me sometimes, you know, like a regular question, like, oh, when's your birthday? What's your zodiac sign? And I'm the one to go to lie about it. And then I reveal my real birthday. And then the person's like, oh, that's such a blank thing to do. Like, referring to the zodiac sign. I'm like, this is why I don't tell people. Like, I bet you can guess what it is just by me saying that. But I'm still not going to reveal my birthday. At least, yeah, unless I slip up somehow. But I like to, I think like the MBTI thing is like way more, like more comparable or like a bit more accurate than the zodiac signs because, and it's also funny because I am really like astronomy. So like when I hear about astrology, I'm like, oh my God, like, sorry guys, but I'm like one to like roll my eyes. I'm like, Jesus, like. People get so into it, that's why. Like, they're just like, oh, that's such a Virgo thing to do. Or like, oh my God, he did that because he's a Pisces. I'm like, but maybe it's just, like, that's the person he or she is. Like, you know, like, what? But anyways, yeah, the MBTI. For MBTI, I guess this will give a good gauge of how I am. But I'm INTJ, A. So, for those people that are into it, that's basically me. But I mean, I fluctuate, you know, as one does. But yeah, I'm very like, introverted for sure. Not very, you know, I'm thinking I saw a video on like a, you know, like a someone that's both extroverted and introverted. I forgot what it's called, but I think I'm that because like with people like that kind of break the seal of like talking, like I'll talk to them, but like if like I will never on my life say the first word to someone, like I get so nervous. But like if someone were to talk to me, like I would totally talk to them back, you know, unless they were like, you know, being negative or like harassing me or something. But like, yeah, but I'm friendly, guys. I've been told by my family that I have the personality of like a house cat. Like we were like, oh, let's give everybody like an animal that they're like, and then like we gave like my dad like a emperor penguin, and my mom was like a what was she, like a hummingbird. It was just like these beautiful things. My little brother was baby bear, and then my mom's like, yeah, you're definitely a domestic house cat. I was like, what? And then she started saying these, like I was shocked, and she started saying all these things and like listing off reasons. I'm like, what? Like, and then now I'm convinced, like I just see it now. Like she was saying things like people can love you but not too much or else you're like, get off of me. But like I'm not that like crazy, like maybe to my mom when she's like, oh, you know. And then I'm just like, mom, okay. Or, like, I always find, like, a comfortable spot on the couch or somewhere, and I, like, curl up and I stay there for a long time. I do that. I'm like, a homebody. Or, like, I do, like, my diet's, like, really, like, simple things. I do love tuna. Not that, like, that's a thing for cats, but it kind of is, but love it. And it's, like, I'll eat, like, my favorite meal is, like, tuna, like, seasoned tuna and rice, just in a bowl. And that's, like, my favorite thing to eat. It's, like, a comfort food. But, yeah, like, other things like that. And I was, like, oh, my God, maybe I am a cat, guys. Like, I don't know. Yeah, but sometimes I think about it and I'm, like, ah. Like, that was such a cat thing of me to do. But, like, now it's, like, you know, like, when someone says something about you and then you find those things in you, all of a sudden you're just, like, oh, I see it. So, I don't know if it's just that. But, like, if she thought that initially, like, it's gonna mean something. Anyways, I should mention, I'm from LA, but I am currently not going to university in LA. I'm going to university in Northern California, which is great, because I love the nature. So I am used to, I don't know, whatever it entails to be born and raised in LA, but not, like, downtown, like, kind of like, you know, like the San Fernando Valley and like all of there is my home. But yes, I think like people really like, it's funny because I've had like a culture shock of when I tell people I'm from LA, they're like, oh my God, like really? Like it's just like the first impressions are that everybody's kind of like hustling and bustling and kind of maybe like fake or rude or shallow or, you know, but like that is not the LA I know like at all. Like, 'cause I'm not in that realm of like, obviously like celebrities are like rich people. So it's different, you know, it's not like people see on like social media or whatever, like Real Housewives, I don't know. But I like, when I think of LA, I think of amazing street food and a lot of like attractions, things to do, you know, like I feel like a lot of people think of Disneyland or Universal Studios, which is true, amazing, you know, like I feel like one thing is if you're raised in LA, you go to Disneyland often, you know, like even if you're just like in a 2-hour radius, you know, you're just like, guys, let's go to Disneyland, not like all the time, but like once every couple of years, once a year, I don't know. People have their different, like, you know, times to go to Disneyland. But, yeah. I think, like, LA is very, like, just super diverse. Like, damn. Like, there's no, like, you can't pinpoint a single type of person that lives in LA, you know, like, everybody. You know, I feel like that same, like, thing can apply for, like, the Bay Area. Because it's, like, very diverse, too. It's, like, you know, like, of Northern California, the Bay Area is, like, the LA of Northern California. Because there's a lot of people. And then, like, San Francisco. You know, being able to go to San Francisco like easily is like so fun because it's like homey, but it's also different and you get to like do really cool things and like eat really good food too. You know, I've recently like, me and food have had a very interesting relationship because I used to like not care. I used to like just eat the bare minimum of food, like whatever would just like get me to survive, you know, like I wasn't like a real enjoyer of making the food and like, because my family, I feel like families, I always say this, I feel like families have different categories. There's like food families, that's what brings them together, music families, which is what my family is, and maybe other like themes of a family, like traditions or I don't know, other things. But I think like the two main ones that I've like come across in my life is food families and music families. So my family was never a food family. We never like got together and like made a whole bunch of food. Like we would like get food from somewhere else, from a restaurant or something like that, and then like bring it. You know, it's not like we're not passing down recipes or like learning how to make stuff. Like I try, you know, now, but so like when I was a freshman in college, I was like super duper struggling with like having to make my own meals because I was like, what is a meal? Like, I just always, like, I don't, like, my mom doesn't even, like, she doesn't make, like, she stopped making breakfast and lunch for me when I was, like, really young, you know, like, I would just do it myself. But dinner, yes. But, like, when I got to college, like, I knew what a meal consisted of, obviously. But I was just like, this is so much more expensive than I thought. Like, and so all I would eat, basically, was frozen broccoli, rice, and, like, chicken nuggets like the whole first year. Like I was like really struggling, or like, you know, pastas and then saving the leftovers and then I didn't finish it all and it would get moldy and I would be like, dang it, you know, like it's just like ultimate survival meals. Like I literally did not know anything about food, did not know how to cook meat, did not know how to season things. I just put whatever seasoning I wanted, you know. I mean, I know really basic things like, you know, like how to make grilled cheese and pasta and blah, blah, blah. But like never, like it was never really like, oh, let me try this. Let me, you know. So I was like kind of like sickly my first year. And then my second year, I met two of my beautiful roommates who love to make food. And I was like, oh my God, guys, what? This is amazing. Like we would do like Korean barbecue in the house or in the apartment. And it was really great. And like, I was like, what? Like cooking meat? Like what? And especially one of my roommates, who is still my roommate and very close friend, loves to cook. Like she loves to cook. And it has given me like a new, like found love for cooking and food just in general too, because like, even just like I did not like to go out to restaurants just because I was like, I'd rather like take something home and just be at home and like comfortable, you know. I never liked restaurants, but now I like start to appreciate them more, you know. And like also like I never like refused to eat stuff, but I would just never venture out, you know. So now I just don't say no to things and I just like try whatever. But yeah, that's the food evolution that I've had. And now I like try to cook and stuff. I wouldn't say it's my hobby because I tried to bake a brookie a couple days ago and it did not turn out good, which is a brownie cookie hybrid. And then I made like, okay guys, this is a really good idea though. I bought Cool Whip and raspberries and I crushed up the raspberries and I put it in the Cool Whip and I made like raspberry Cool Whip. It was really good, but it just didn't match on the brookie because like the brookie was like so rich. And then the raspberry was, like, so light. And then I was, like, and I made it for me and my roommate. And then I was, like, you have to tell me if it's good. And then I was eating it. And I ate it. And I was, like, I don't like it. And she was, like, it's good. It's good. I was, like, it's not good. Like, it's not. She's, like, no. Like, and she finished it. But I didn't even. Because I was just, like, guys, this is not yum. So I feel like she has compassion for my cooking endeavors because I don't make them that much. Yeah, I don't know what, how did I get into food? Oh yeah, LA food. But yeah, music. Oh guys, if I talk about music, I won't stop. But it just means so much to me. Like me and my family connect so much through music. It's insane. Like, you know, like we're the type of be like, oh, this song reminds me of you, or you should listen to this song, like no matter what. Like even if it's like a genre that my mom doesn't listen to, I'll like suggest it to her and she'll be like, oh yeah, and she'll tell me like how it made her feel and everything. Like we're very like deep with the emotions and the music, and like there's definitely like songs, a lot of songs we can't listen to because it'll just make us like cry, which means a lot to me because I don't cry a lot. Like so if a song, but like if anything's gonna make me cry, it's gonna be a song. But yeah. And my grandma, my mom's side, used to be a singer, beautiful singer. My mom's side is Mexican. My dad's side is Swiss. And my grandma on my mom's side was an amazing singer. I mean, she still is. She just doesn't practice that much anymore. But she always, like, tried to, like, instill that singing ability to us, but we were just, like, always too nervous or something. Like, we're not singers, but we love music. You know, like, we'll play it, we'll dance. I think, like, my mom's a little bit more of a dancer. I'm more of a singer, but I'm just, like, very shy because I can't dance for my life. I cannot dance. But, yeah, a lot of our family just love music and sharing it with each other and, like, sharing it with other people. And then, like, maybe we don't make music, though. But we just, like, have a lot of, like, knowledge, too. Like, I'm really good at, like, when I listen to a new band, I research everything about them. Not everything, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, I get their history and, like, what they're about, you know? And then I remember, if I really like the band, I'll, you know, remember all the bandmates and I'll be able to, like, tell people about them. Which is what I love to do. Some of the bands I love... Okay, guys, I can't even, like... It's, like, music is so broad spectrum for me. Like, I can't even, like, say things without being, like, but I also like, you know... But my main grunge bands are Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, which I feel like is pretty standard for grunge. And I first, okay, I can't get into my grunge journey because should I make it another episode or should I just talk about it now? It's so integral to like my personality, so I feel like I should. But okay, here we go. I gotta start the story. Starts during lockdown, during the pandemic. And before this, like in high school, I was really into reggaeton and like bachata and like banda and like all these Latino like artists and like rappers, you know, because that's what a lot of people, that's what everybody around me was listening to. But I also had appreciation for rock, of course, because my parents are really cool and they have amazing music taste. And of course, I was going to also like what they like, but it was just at the forefront because of my friends. But then guess what, you know, lockdown happened, my friends are not around. So I'm like listening to like, you know, like Maluma and Bad Bunny and stuff. And then I come across literally a clip on my Instagram feed and it's using Down in a Hole by Alice in Chains. And I'm like, this is a really cool song, but like, I didn't really think that much of it. And so like, I took like, my mom took this like super funny pandemic-y photo of me where I'm just like on a lawn chair with my sunglasses on looking like so not put together, and I'm just like sitting there in the chair and just like smirking at the camera. And I post that photo on my Instagram story using Down in a Hole, and I kept looking at the story, I'm like, okay, I gotta check out this song. Like, and I listened to it, I was like, damn, like, that's like really cool. And then I start listening to the rest of the album, and I'm like, guys, this is really cool. And I'm listening to like Dirt, and I'm also, my second favorite song was Rain When I Die. Oh my god, please, so good. And I was just like, these guys are good. Like, what is this realm? I'm like, 90s grunge? I thought it was 90s rock, but I was like, grunge? Like, and so I go on the, I start this journey, and I'm like listening to all of Alice in Chains, Fell in Love. I'm like, I love Lane Staley. Like, I love you. You know, Jerry. Oh, everybody. And then I'm like, oh, what? He was friends with who? And then I start listening to Pearl Jam. Was always like, my mom loved Pearl Jam. It's a very like core part of us as well. Oh, I have until 2:30. I thought my time recording was over. Anyways, it's 2 o'clock. Anyways, dang, that scared me. Anyways, I started listening to Pearl Jam because that was, yeah, very important to our family and friends and everybody. And we just all love Eddie Vedder. Like, he's just, like, genuinely, like, we're, like, crushing on him. I know he's, like, so much older than me, guys, I know. But it's just, like, 90s him with the long hair and the board shorts and, like, the, you know, like, you know. If you look him up, like, 90s Eddie Vedder, like, it's just the vibe. But then I was, like, Pearl Jam, oh, my God. And then I was, like, listening to, like, more emotional, slower grunge. And I was, like, oh, this is great, you know. And then I was, like, what? His best friend is Chris Cornell? What? So I started listening to Soundgarden. So as you can imagine, it's just this whole, like, trickling of, like, you know, of bands that I'm listening to. And, like, everybody. And then that led me to listen to Mother Love Bone, which, Andy Wood is the lead singer of this band, and he's like my muse, my idol, my inspiration. Like, I love him. He lived a very short life, unfortunately, but he was a great singer and artist. And yes, I love, because here's the thing, when I got into all this grunge stuff, I was so interested, and I found, I don't even know what app I was on, Safari, Pinterest, I don't know, but I found this magazine article that had a literal, like, chart or graph or whatever. Like, it had a timeline from top to bottom, and then it had horizontally was, like, all these bands, like, starting at the top was, like, oldest, like, it was basically grunge evolution map, and I was, like, no way did I just find this. So I print it out, I paste it into my journal, and I'm like writing all these songs. I'm like, guys, you have to listen to this, guys, as in myself to the future or something. But it was amazing, and I would try to listen to every single band on that article. Some like are not on apps, like actually not on apps, like, you know, Spotify or YouTube Music, so I couldn't listen to. I mean, I could have maybe gone further in looked him up on YouTube, but look, I was in the heat of the moment. I was like, oh my god, these bands, blah blah, you know. Like Mudhoney, oh my god, and Blind Melon, like, oh, so good. But that journey really led me to find my fashion aesthetic, my makeup aesthetic, my hair, who I look for in a partner, you know. Like, I used to always imagine, like, oh my god, what if I had a boyfriend that looked like Chris Cornell? Crazy. But, I mean, my type has changed a little bit, but, because I've grown, of course. And that was 4 years ago. So crazy. But, anyways, it influenced a lot about me. And that got me, that was my kickstart to rock. Like, honestly, it was insane. And so I started going into the 2000s and stuff. And then my parents were like, oh, now you woken up, like, now you like what we like. And like, let me suggest this and that. And I was just like, oh my God, you know. And then my second sort of rock awakening was still during the pandemic. And it was through Greta Van Fleet, which people say they're comparable to Led Zeppelin. Which I see a little bit, but not too much, right? So they're a band of, they're in their like mid-20s. They're active now. I've seen them twice live. Amazing. I cried both times. The first time when they came out, I like literally was like, oh my God, they're real. And I was in the nosebleeds, like could barely see them. But I was just like, I cannot believe they're real. Like, are you kidding me? So I started crying. But I listened to their music. Again, I saw them through an Instagram reel. And I was just like, wait, what? Like, that is so cool. Because at that point, I was a little bit, like, moving. I was, like, grunge. And then I went to back to classic rock. I was listening to Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd. You know, like, but, you know, this is another thing. I was also listening to, like, 60s rock. So, I love, like, Neil Young. I love Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I love Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. And, like, you know, that era of, like, the Laurel Canyon artists, you know, Joni Mitchell and all the like, the Beatles, of course. I've been into the Beatles since I was like very young, and I love George Harrison. And like, my mom is a teacher, and she had this really awesome principal who knew I loved the Beatles and George Harrison, and she made me this little George Harrison CD, which is like the best thing you can give to a young person that is into one of the Beatles members and, you know, has the CD player in the car. And it was great. And it was eye-opening. I was like, oh my God, like the Beatles. I love the Beatles. You know, but then I moved on because I was like, well, I have to evolve. But then I came back, you know, so it's like a cycle. The thing about me is that I always like am into something for a good amount of time. Then I move on and then I come back and it's like, oh, it's so sweet. It's like, yeah. Can't believe I forgot about you. But anyways, yeah, Greta Van Fleet. And so I listened to the album that they had at the time of when, or that they came out with when, sorry, I'm like looking it up real fast, guys, I'm so sorry. The Battle at Garden's Gate. Oh my God, this album, and one specific song. Two of them changed my life. And one of them, the first one was, oh my God, was the Age of Machine? I think it was Age of Machine. Yeah. And it was so tremendously, keep in mind, at this time, I'm like so flipping depressed and like, I'm not leaving the house. I'm not seeing any of my friends. I have no mental simulation except for this. And this song, I played it. And it blew my effing mind. Like, I was sitting there with my headphones on at night, sitting in my bed, like, laying flat on my back, staring at the ceiling. I had this, like, tapestry right above my bed that was, like, so crazy. And I was just like, Like, I was literally, like, high off of the song. It was insane. Like, the drums, everything, the buildup. Oh, my God. Please listen to that song, guys. It's so good. And then I remember, like, listening to the song. I burst out of my room. I'm like, Mom, I just listened to the best song I've ever listened to in my whole life. It was so crazy. And it changed my life, you know? And like, I was just like, I have to see them at first. I have to. I don't know if I can, but I have to. I was not even into like going to concerts back then. Surprisingly, I know. How am I into rock? It's because everybody I liked was dead or separated or like not on tour anymore, you know? So I was just like, I lost my chances. But Greta Van Fleet, I was like, there's hope. They're alive. They're together. They're young. I can do it. But I was just listening to the song over and over. But it was so good that I could not listen to it that many times because I didn't want the feeling to leave me. Like, it was so precious. I was like, oh my God. Blowing my mind. I cried, I'm pretty sure. I've said so many times how I've cried, but I literally don't cry that much. But the second song that got me, very similar reaction, was The Weight of Dreams, which is insane. And, like, I'm not in awe at these songs because they're emotional. I mean, they are, but like, it's just the gravity and the intenseness and like the epicness of the song. I was like, how are they doing this? Like, it was insane. I was like, there is like something, like who is the producer? Like, Josh is the main singer, the lead singer, and he is amazing. The vocal range is insane. The lungs he has, insane. Jake is his twin brother. He's the guitarist. insane skills. Insane skills. Like, just in general, shredding, soloing, everything. Like, I cannot explain. He was my favorite. Like, I was like, oh my god, Jake. And then their little brother, Sam, is on the miscellaneous instruments. He plays the keyboard mainly and the bass. But he's amazing. He ties it together. And then there's Danny, which is their close family friend, who is the drummer. Amazing. When I saw them live, he did the most craziest drum solo I've ever heard in my whole life. Like, it was so insane. So imagine all that together, and like, it's not, they're very experimental. Like, it's not just like, you know, regular rock, and it's like kind of like the same thing the whole time. Like, it's like they stop and it like builds up, and it's like, oh, like, I can't describe. You have to listen to these songs, guys. The Weight of Dreams and Age of the Machine. Okay, please, Greta Van Fleet. But that was also instrumental to how I am today. But yeah, they're still there with me. I think I've just like opened my spectrum a little bit more, and like, I'm like, oh, like, I still don't like country music, guys. I have to put it out there. You know what? And I would say I tried, but I haven't. But my dad recently got into it, and I'm like, guys, I can't do it. I'm like, I can't. It's just like, it's that sigh that I just did. Like, I can't. But yeah, I tried to like get into like more of like pop artists that like come out now, but not all of them. Like, you know, but it just doesn't attract me like that. I think like when I hear a good song, honestly, like, it goes back to like Latino artists. Like, I love Rosalia too. Flamenco music is so beautiful. Like, there's like, I have like pockets of like when I'm interested in like, a lot of international music. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like more on the instrumental side. Like, there's this Cuban band that me and my mom love so much. They're called Buena Vista Social Club, and they're so good. Chan Chan is like my favorite song. Imagine like I can't post this if I'm like saying all these songs. No, I can, right? I can say whatever I want, I'm pretty sure. But that song is really good. It just takes you to like the streets of Cuba, or like you're just like taking in the architecture, the people, the community, and you're just like, it's like romantic, but like in a very like groovy way. Like, it's so good. So yeah, I have very like, there's not a band that you can suggest to me that I'd be like, oh, I'm not gonna listen to that, you know? Like, I'll try a lot, but it's all integral to how I express myself and like how I feel, honestly. I usually like when I make playlists on like Spotify or whatever, I try to do them by genre, but I end up doing them by like what I'm into at the time, which is like a whole bunch of different things. So I just do like time period playlists, I guess. But yeah. That's just how I roll these days. And as I'm producing more episodes, I can like shout out different artists or songs. I feel like that would be cool. Because it changes all the time. Now I'm trying to think like what else defines me, and I think more baseline since birth, something since birth sounds weird, that has defined me as a human being is laughing. I love to make people laugh. I love to laugh myself. I love to be admired for my laugh. I love to be admired for my wittiness, my funniness. I love to watch comedy movies. My first ever celebrity crush was Will Ferrell. I was 2 or 3 years old watching Elf, and I told my mom, who's that? And that I wanted to watch all his movies. somehow I did that as a child. I did. Because she told me. I didn't believe her. And I was like, what? Like, what the hell? I was not into Will Ferrell. And then she said that I was. And that I loved how he was funny and that he had curly hair. And, like, I wanted to watch him. I wanted to watch him all the time. And I was like, what? And I realized, like, funny people. I love funny people. They're amazing. And, like, oh, my God. And it's crazy because, like, all my roommates that I live with, my housemates, they're all funny. We're all funny and beautiful. And it's crazy. Like, I'm just like, you truly attract people that you want to be around because, like, how, bruh? Imagine. And then, like, you know, like, that kind of, like, stigmatism that exists. Stigmatism? Yeah. Among, like girls can't, like, it's, like, hard to find a funny girl. Like what is this most absurd, like, people are just people that are funny and period. Like, what? It's not a man or a woman thing. Like, I, like, making people laugh, like, literally, but, like, genuinely laugh, gives me such an ego boost and so much, like, self-confidence that I literally can't get from anything else. And, like, I love, like, one of the best ever compliments I've received in my life was that, like, it was somewhat, like, I was laughing and someone was like, your laugh is, like, so, like, hearty or, like, jovial or, like, something like that, where, like, they were like, I love your laugh, like, it's so, like, jolly or something. And I'm like, oh my God, thank you. Like, I love that. And I love to laugh. I have many variations of laughs, to be honest. But I love that. I also sometimes I pee when I laugh. Not all the time, guys. But I'm one to be doing that. So if you make me laugh, don't be surprised. And I know it's like some people are like, it's hard to make them laugh or it's easy to make them laugh or in the middle. I don't know. It's pretty like I'll laugh at a lot, you know, but to genuinely laugh, oh, that's the best, you know. And I feel like it goes back to like when you're in middle school and you're not supposed to be laughing, but like you want to laugh with your friends so bad and you're like actually dying, like, but like snot's coming out of your nose because you're like, you know. I love that type of laugh. Like, it's amazing. Like, the energy, the joy it gives you to laugh is amazing, you know. And to be funny and to like know that you're making people happy is like awesome, you know. And that's something for me that like brings my family together as well. But I think in more like me, like, I like to make my family laugh a lot and like be the silly one. And so it's so important to me. Like, that's so important to me. Like, if I'm looking for a life partner or something, like, if the sense of humor or the laughing is so like important, you know. Like, I feel like it is for a lot of people too, because it's just like such a human thing, like a human phenomenon that's just like weird. It doesn't make sense. Like, what is the science on laughing? I should look it up. But like, it's amazing. Like, oh my God, like, to watch someone laugh, I'll fall in love with someone laughing. That, like, I'm so like serious on that. Like, it's just, yeah, one of those human things, man. But yeah, see, it's like put me in a daze. yeah, that is another thing about me that I'm like, yes, this is so like core. I'm trying to think, like, you know, like in the movie Inside Out, she has those islands. I'm like trying to like establish these islands live on the air. But yeah, what else? I have like a lot of like also like niche interests. Like, I love Viking stuff. Vikings are great. Like, I don't even know, like, also like gladiators. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to watch the new Gladiator movie. Like, please get me to the theater when it comes out. Like, I'm so excited. I love like that whole like, I don't know how to describe this without being like shocking or like weird, but like I kind of love like the brute, the violence and the survival and like the, you know what I mean, like just the raw energy of like Vikings and how they dress and look. And like, you know, I guess you could say I like long hair, but also not exclusively. But like, I love the look, and like, also, my dad kind of looked like a Viking, so like, it's like that vibe that I grew up with. I love that look, and I just love like, I read. That's another thing of like things that I will read is like Nordic tales or stuff like that. I used to use Duolingo and like learn Norwegian because I was like, yes, I want to learn the language of the Vikings. And then like with my Swiss side, I'm like, what if I was descended from Vikings? Like, guys, I'm onto something. There's a reason. No, I'm just kidding. But like, that's it's just like really cool. And then like the jewelry and everything, and it's just like really cool. And the tales, like honestly, like it's crazy, like all the gods and like the punishments they had. It's like, why? Like, it's just genuinely interesting. Like, I kind of like to read things that are like shocking, like or like really complicated. Like, my favorite author, I think, is I was gonna say Gregor Samsa. That's Larry from The Metamorphosis. I love Franz Kafka. Like, he's so the way he writes is so chaotic, and like. Just so like blunt, like I relate to him so much because he just wants to write a bajillion things, and like he knows that no one will understand him, but he writes anyway, and it's amazing. Like, it's like so weird and amazing, and that's how I feel. Like, if I was an author, I'd literally be like that. Like, I don't know, like what else? It's hard to just form a solid thought without wanting to like overshare or just say what you want. Like, you have to like kind of like polish it to sound good, but like the Metamorphosis. I read twice in high school writing class and then in college writing class. So funny. But I wanted to in college because I was like, I didn't really get, I read it during the pandemic and I was like, this is cool, but I'm like in my bed half asleep. You know, I'm like not paying attention. So I wanted to read it again to give it appreciation. It was great. It was like awesome. I was like, what is going on? He's a beetle. What? So like, if you kind of like weird stuff like that, I would like get into his lore. Like, he writes some really interesting stuff. That's like shocking. Like, I like to be stimulated when I'm reading. Like, it's like, what? Because it keeps me like intrigued. But then again, I don't read that much. So when I do read, it's like has to be like something like I really want to read. I have it like in my bag right now. I have a book that's like a compilation of his stories, including The Metamorphosis. And like, I was reading this like one about like he went to like an army base and it was like about this torture device that had like three stages. It was insane. Like, I was like, what? You know, like, I like the shock. I guess that also leads to me, like, I do like horror movies. I don't like, I do like to watch them. Like, I'll put them on, I'm like, yes. But it's not like what I watch all the time. Like, I mainly watch like comedy and horror, but I don't like them combined. Like, the what's it called? That movie franchise that's like, Scary Movie. Like, I can't, like, I mean, I watch them all, but I was just like, yeah, I wouldn't like watch it again. But horror movies are cool. Like, but then again, I watched a horror movie a couple days ago and I was like, usually I'm like fine, but it was like again about the like exorcism stuff. It was called it was new. It had Glenn Close in it. She played like the mom. The I'm not gonna think of it, but if actually I can just look it up on my computer right now. She was in The Deliverance. Crazy. Yeah. I knew I had it with the D. Yeah, that was crazy. And I was a little bit like stunned after I had to watch regular show after because I was like, I have to forget this right now. But usually like my foolproof method my foolproof method for like recovering after scary movies literally just to watch even an episode of a cartoon gets me like snaps me right out of it. Like I watched, I don't know if you guys know Terrifier. I've watched both of them, Terrifier 1 and 2. Crazy gore, crazy lore, all of it. And I was like stunned after it finished. But then I watched like, I don't know, like Adventure Time right after. I was like, oh, I'm good. Like, I forgot. But it was insane. But there is some movies that I don't like Human Centipede. I only watched the first one. I was utterly disgusted and shocked that the director even thought that was a good idea because, like, I would not recommend it to anybody because it's not like the story is good, but it's gore. It's just not good. Like, it's just like, what the hell was the concept, you know? But anyways, Oh, snap, it's 2:25. I wonder if, like, I can just still record or if someone, like, has the room reserved after. Quick pit stop to check if someone has the room reserved. So maybe I can still record. Because I don't want to get out of here, guys. This is fun. Let's see. Oh, this is me. Yeah, no one has it booked. Okay, I think I can still record. I'm just going to, like, see when I run out of words to say. Anyways. Yeah. So, if you're, like, kind of, like, impartial about horror movies, but you're, like, scared that you might have a nightmare, just watch it and then, like, watch something chill after. Not your favorite show, because then you don't want to ruin it just in case it doesn't work. But watch, like, something random. But, like, fun, you know? And it works pretty well. But, yeah. I don't know what else I can say about my person. Yes, I do. I can always talk. I just have to, like, I didn't, like, plan talking points, which I should have done. Oh, yeah, I guess I mentioned before that I paint. That is also pretty, like, my family is definitely artistic, I'm seeing. Full of artists in different ways. Poets, singers, dancers, and artists with paint. My mom, I mean, I'm going to probably talk about my mom a lot because me and my mom are, like, close. You know, we're like besties. And she is an artist. She's been painting since she was very young, and she still paints, and she's still growing. Like, it's amazing the way her art has changed throughout the years. And, you know, I grew up painting because she was like, let's paint. And I used to not want to paint. Like, when I got, like, I would paint when I was little with her. And then I got to middle school. I was like, I don't want to paint because you always made me paint. I don't want to paint. But now I'm just like, wait, hold on. It's fun. But it's hard because I become more critical, you know, being that I'm in the science realm. So it's hard because it's like I have a tinge of perfectionism. And I'm like, no, that's not. Because she's so not like that. Like, she's like, she paints like, like still lifes, but also like she does collaging, and it's very like expressive and like putting out a message to the world. But then when I paint, I'm like, oh, this needs to be perfect, like, you know. And I like to paint still lifes too, mainly, but it's not realistic, like, because I'm not that good, you know. I just do it for fun. But then I'm like, her eye looks bad, her lips look bad, this bird's beak looks, you know. And I'm, like, nitpicking, and then I get discouraged, and then I have a whole bunch of canvases that just sit there, and they're, like, half done. But it ultimately, it is rewarding when you finish. Like, I finished, like, two big ones, and they're both, like, not self-portraits, but, like, I was my only model, so I guess it is me. I just kind of changed a little bit of the features. But it came out, like, pretty good. I have one, like, on my wall in my apartment and my bedroom that I really like. But it's just, like, definitely my time commitment that sometimes I feel like I don't have, or like the patience, you know. I always have to be in the mood to paint. Like, my mom can paint anytime, but I have to like be in the mood, and it's like slowly diminishing. I want to get back to it because other like family members are like, oh, have you painted? And I'm like, oh no, but I should, you know. But it's fun. Like, I listen to like different type of music, like when I was talking about the international kind of like vibey, like ambient music when I paint, which is like really cool. And it's like very like romantic. Like, I put on some candles and like I tie my hair up and I have my apron, and I usually paint on my bed because that's like kind of like the only place I have. And it's nice. And then, you know, like I'm done and I'm all like, you know, cleaning my brushes, and I'm like, oh, that was cool. And then the next day I kind of have like paint on my arms or legs, and I'm like, yeah. And then someone's like, what's that? I'm like, oh, it's paint. They're like, oh, do you paint? I'm like, yeah. It's fun. So it's like a little, like, I don't know, icebreaker, I don't know. But it's not that integral in my life as of right now, but it was for my childhood because of my mom. And now she's encouraged my dad to paint, my little brother to paint, and it's great. Everybody's in harmony painting. So yeah. But I think like I've become a little bit more like, yeah, like critical and like more science-based. I love science. Like, I've loved science since I was in middle school, even though my science teacher did not like me and she thought I was annoying. But I was like, geology, yes, physics, yes. But it really took off when I took high school bio. High school bio was so chill. Like, it was just, like, great. But it was the first time that the science teacher was not my, like, I wasn't the teacher's pet for the science teacher. Because my first year of high school, I took geology. And then the teacher loved me. And I was like, yes, yes. But I wasn't, like, that interested in geology. I just, like, liked that he, like, always picked me to, like, pass stuff out or whatever. And always give me good grades, blah, blah. And then I went to bio. And then she had this rule that was, like, no phones in class. And I was like, got it. You know? And one time, I pulled my phone out to look when the bell was going to ring. And she yelled at me in front of the whole class and was like, I just established that you're not supposed to be using phones and you just pull out your phone. Really? Really? You're messing it up for it? And I was like, like, I freaked out because I was like a really good goody-goody or whatever in high school. And I was like, oh my God, so sorry. And I feel like she didn't like me after that. And but I proved her wrong. By the end of the year, I got the best grades of the whole class. And I was like so ready to learn. I was like, this is so interesting. Yes, yes, yes. Like, I was not slacking off. And then I was like, I want to be a high school biology teacher so bad, like so bad, because I feel like high school students, yeah, they can be disrespectful, but like at the same time, that's when I was like learning how to respect teachers, and it was like really rewarding. So I want to do that for other people. I still have that vision, but maybe not as a teacher. Maybe eventually though. But yeah. That, like, really inspired me. I mean, I've always been, like, very curious as a kid, like, grabbing worms and bugs and all that type of thing. I don't have arachnophobia, but I really, spiders scare me. But I love, like, marine life, terrestrial life, like, all of it, man. All of it, man. And, yeah, all of it has led me to what I do now here at this university. And what I do for my job. I work for the university's podcast, as I said, and I do science communication. I basically do this like segment called Science Weekly, and I talk about cool science discoveries that our university has made, you know. And I feel like, because I'm not sure now because my boss is hiring new people, but I think I might be the only person that at least last year was STEM based. So I would just talk about like cool stuff that was happening, you know, and that really inspired me. And I was like, yes, I want to keep doing this. So hence why I still have the job. But anyways, yeah, I love camping too. Like, I took, when I was a freshman in college, I took this intro to field research class, changed my flipping life. I was just like, you tell me people can go out in nature, camp, observe some animals and plants, and that can be a job? Like, I was genuinely shocked out of my mind. Like, I was like, this is what I want to do with my life. But then I got this lab position and I'm like, labs and beakers and chemicals and what? Like, this is cool too. So I feel like I kind of have like a well-rounded interest range, whatever. So I really want to do everything when I graduate. I'm just kidding. I do want to do something biological related or astronomy related. I don't know. I'm going to figure that out. But now is the time. I was gonna say now is not the time, but it is. It's just the beginning of the time. But yeah. That's just like super where I am at right now. Just trying to get my degree and have fun, and like, you know, my first year was about survival because I was like shocked that I moved away from home. Second year was about expanding my brain and my friendships and my everything, and then my third year was about stability and comfort, and I met amazing people, and I figured out, you know, what it is to be stable, to eat stably, to exercise stably, to be stable in myself. And now I feel like it's to let loose a little bit and have fun, not in a miss classes way, but like in a just get out there a little bit more. And like, because I mentioned that I'm in like introverted, right? Yeah, I'm very introverted, especially in class. I'll literally sit in the back, not look at a single soul, and stare at the teacher, write down my notes in class, and then bolt to the bus stop. That is literally like, I mean, yeah, if someone talks to me, I'll be like, hey, but like, when you already have that like, don't approach me type of like face or energy, like, no one's gonna, you know, it's hard. So yeah, I want to break that. I want to be a little bit more not afraid, and also just like it does come with like self-love, which I feel like I've had, you know. But I've been working on it a lot, and it's made me just only rely on myself when I should be like, oh, there's other people that are cool and maybe want to get to know me. You know, I was like so self-sufficient that I was just like, I need to get like, this is it. Like, I hate how introverted I am. I need to get out there. So I just want to kind of, it's like expressing your own self-love to others. And it's not like in an arrogant or selfish way or like egotistical way. It's just like, people want to know about other people sometimes, and they want to be heard as well. So, like, you know, that's just how it is. And I'm learning this because I have, like, also, like, I had some not good friends in middle school. So, and they kind of, like, stripped me of my self-confidence and gave me, in return, fear of rejection. So I'm trying to get rid of that, which is very hard. You know, a lot of people have fear of rejection. Because it's real, man. It's real. But yeah, I'm trying to get rid of that and replace it with just like self-love and like also just like not thinking too hard. I'm probably the worst overthinker ever. Like, I think about everything in the whole entire universe. You know, like when you're just like, you know you're an overthinker and you just literally read into everything. Like, everything. I do it, and not all of it affects me, but it is super annoying because I'm just like, can I just live, you know? Like, it just comes down to the basic, like, I just want to talk to someone and not worry about like if what I said was bad, you know, or embarrassing, like, because it, you know, it's too much to be like thinking about all that, because it's like, dang, that was literally one speck of your life that just happened, a speck, you know. And, like, you know, it's just like, man, give it up. I'm mainly talking to myself, you know. But if you feel the same way, like, I get you. Like, it's, like, it's hard to be an extrovert or just to talk. Like, it's just, like, you know, especially if you think you're, like, really interesting and, like, have a lot to offer. And it's just, like, frustrating, you know. Like, you just want to, like, get to know that person or, like, tell them about you. But, like, you're too afraid. Like, it sucks, man. And that's how I feel, you know. I feel like I have a lot to offer to people in a friend way, in a, you know, in a life, in a girlfriend way. I don't know, you know. So, like, you know, it's just about defeating that. And that's what I'm hoping to accomplish at least a little bit with this podcast. I think it'll be really useful to me, and even if it doesn't go anywhere, I just want to be able to say that I express myself in a way that I really like, and that was fun, you know? I like to talk, and not a lot of people know that because I don't talk. I'm a very good listener, which I love to do as well, but I love to talk too. So if this goes anywhere and I actually have listeners, you guys are super cool and I appreciate it a lot. Because everybody has a story to share, and even if it's like not that great and epic, everybody wants to be heard, and like, you know, it's just about like connections, which is really cool. And I feel like that's what humans are all about, connections. So yeah, I guess I'll wrap up the episode there. And I'll be sharing more stuff in the future. But yeah, I'll catch you guys in the next one, and don't forget to take it easy on yourself. Bye.